Happy Monday, beautiful people. It's been a week. It's been tough. Harry, we lost more people. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. This is Love Babs Love Talk. That's Harry Jones. We hanging out. It's Monday. We got some new stuff to talk about too. But let's get into it.
So we're having an obituary section in the Love Babs Love Talk.
I feel like we ought to, Harry. Damn. We done lost one after the other.
It's crazy.
I was like, gosh, what is this? Death Reaper Month? January is the new black. What is going on? We lost designer Mugler, Theory Mugler. You know, I mean, we lost so many people in the last just 2 weeks. We lost Meatloaf, Andre Leon Talley,
the comedian Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson.
A lot of people.
There's too many people, Harry. Too many people. And they're all in that same age cohort. You know, that 73 to 75. Like, listen. I don't know what to make of that. If anybody's 70 in their 70s, go get a checkup. Make sure everything is running right.
Well, you know, I mean, but a lot of them won't say what they died from, which I don't know if it's people are shying away from a COVID.
Well, Meatloaf, COVID. You know, he was anti-COVID. You mean he was anti-vaccination.
Yeah, I know TMC reported that he died from COVID. His family wasn't verifying that.
Well, because they feel ashamed. Because they couldn't get him vaccinated.
Yep.
And I know in those last moments, I know he had to be like, damn it, I should have got vaccinated. But, you know, those anti-vaxxers, Harry, they go to the end believing it's a hoax, like to the bitter end. Y'all going to look really foolish when y'all are all on the other side and it's confirmed and y'all like, you know what? You mean to tell me? Yeah, we mean to tell you. You didn't really need to be here this soon.
when Jesus comes up to you and he goes, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You
don't like, you know, here. I said a vaccine. You didn't want the vaccine. What? You missed it? Like, I sent you vaccines, people.
Yeah, I prayed for this to go away. Well, I sent you the vaccine. I answered your prayer.
I answered your prayer. Oh. Oh. Is that what that was? Yes. The vaccine, the life raft, all the good things to save you. I sent those.
Yeah.
There's no convincing people, Harry, even to the bitter end. To the bitter end.
Oh, I mean, you know, you are who you are. Some people, you just can't change their minds on anything. So,
yeah, that's true.
I mean,
no, that's true.
For some people, it's surprising that they last this long. You know, it's like, it's incredible.
That's a walk in truth, Harry. That is a real walk in truth. That's a real walk in truth.
Because we all have that friend that you bump into like 30 years later and you're like, you still around?
Like, you
how
really
do you accomplish
by all
that
accounts?
I know. How do you accomplish that one? Because I remember you.
Woo! Yeah, we took some hits.
My condolences to everybody's family.
Everybody. Everybody, anybody, all the peoples everywhere. And my hearts go out to the people on the border of the Ukraine. They're sitting there waiting for Russia to jump. Russia, I want somebody to go to Russia. I was like, why do you feel compelled to go mess with them people in the Ukraine? Like, what is that about? They don't got no beef with you. They don't have nothing you want. Why are you messing with them? First it was the other countries. Now you messing with them. Why? They are doing, they want to do what they want to do. Why are you marching on them? And you want to tear up their country. And they're like, people want to go to work. They want to shop. They want to be at the cafes. They don't want to be running from bombs and shootings and all. What are you doing?
Well,
it's like, I somebody mean, go slap Russia. Like, go
that's the problem,
there.
Right?
You want to take same, care of your country.
It's the same problem North Korea has with South Korea, right? That the people
doing?
That the people want to just go out and do whatever they want to do. And the leader on the opposite side says, no, without my permission, you can't do anything. So it's just that you live next door to the dictator. That's the hard part of everything.
Can we put up a bigger fence?
Because the dictator always wants to be the dictator.
I know, Harry. I don't want you having fun. I don't want you. I don't want you to have freedom. I don't want you to have any of those things.
You know, Putin looks out at night with his binocular. He goes, "Why are there lights still on?" I said, "Lights out." You know, he's that type of person.
Why is there laughing and joking in the land? I said no laughing. I said no joking. I said no fun.
And Putin's like, what is everybody talking about? I'm not going to invade. Who said I was going to invade? I'm just stockpiling my military right on their border because I feel like it. No one said I'm going to invade.
Now, these are maneuvers. You know, We're just testing our equipment.
It's training. It's training. So anybody who's telling me not to invade, I'm taking offense to that because I never said I was going to invade. That's what he's doing. It's like insane. It's like crazy talk.
And the world has to be like, all right, this maniac, we got to sit and wait for this foolishness. Because you can't be preemptive. You know what I mean, Harry? Like, you can't start sending troops over there because by all accounts, he hasn't invaded, right? Like,
right. So if you make the first move, then he invades.
This is why I had to do this.
Right, this is why I had to invade.
Like an abusive partner. You know, you made me hit you.
Yeah, you made me do it. You know how I get? That's exactly what you think.
You know how I get? And by no means when we're making fun of domestic violence, we are not. It's just that the similarities between Putin and any domestic violent partner is just, you know, right there. It's right there.
You have the same problem right now with the North Korean nut job. Where he's now testing the supersonic missiles.
Oh, God. I want somebody to just take the controls out his hand. Just, you know.
Like, my God.
Ain't nobody over there. Ain't no coup. They can't do a coup. Nobody wants to do a coup. They scared.
Do they all have to go crazy at the same time? That's my problem.
Can they take turns?
Jobs, you know, it's crazy.
I know.
And then Iran is starting to talk hard. And it's
these
like,
people, I just don't understand why these people never want peace in the world. It's just as if they are allergic to peace. Don't you want to see your people thrive and do well? Don't you want to see that? Like, why do you want misery and war and pain and desperation and hunger and famine? Like, why? And you would choose all of that over peace, goodwill, and a thriving country? Come on.
There's different answers because for all of them, because you have Putin, who doesn't believe in anything, so he doesn't care about peace in the world. Same thing for China. They don't care about peace. And the little dictator over there in North Korea, he is just crazy. Honestly, he's crazy. Now, the other two, Putin and what's his name? Xi. They're just dictators. That's what they do. It's The other guy's crazy. And then you have Iran, who they want the end of the world because they're waiting for a prophet to come out the well and all of this. But,
you know, okay. All right.
So you know what I'm saying? So it's just different answers for different nut jobs.
So is the Vatican, but they're not starting wars. Like the Vatican is waiting on Christ too.
They can't start anything anymore. They did.
Well, they did. They, you know what? You're right. They've had thousands and thousands of years of starting stuff.
That's right. They just don't got that power anymore. They had that power. Like, you know
what? We just want to be behind the wall.
I'm sorry. The biggest monsters in history are people who believe in something. It's just crazy.
That's why I gotta find someplace in the world, Harry, to go. I don't know where that is. Where is there peace? There's gotta be places where there's peace. Costa Rica, they don't have an army.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's where that's the first place that's gonna get run over.
Yeah, see that I find that a little problematic. Like I don't want to not have an army. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to not have an army, Harry. I'm not suggesting that kind of foolishness. That's like saying, oh, I don't want a police force. I'm not saying that.
I mean, the problem is that you know, it's like they say, a hammer only sees nails, right? So everything to a hammer is a nail. So they want to hammer it, right? So and that when you get an army, that's your hammer. And it's like, well, if we got an army, then that means we're at war with somebody.
Yeah.
You always see it that way. You know, it's like, who's coming to get me? So yeah. that's the problem. But I mean, that's the world we live in, too.
Well, we have fine. There's some place on. Oh, and you know what, Harry? Thich Nhat Hanh passed. He was 95. I didn't realize he was 95. You know, the peaceful monk. You know, the guy was very peaceful. Thich Nhat Hanh.
Did he pass or?
Yes, he died. 95. You know why he lived that long, Harry? He had no wife and kids.
I don't know. I think I passed faster without my wife and kids.
No, I mean, agree.
I mean, marriage is helpful for those who want to be married, you know?
Oh, I agree. You have to want to be married, though. Yeah. If you go into marriage seeing it as bondage, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. Yeah, if you go into a marriage and you go, nah, I can't do this stuff because of her.
It's over for you.
Yeah.
You're going to find all the ways to break it up. Yeah. Because that's how cowardice works. You know, instead of saying it's me, not you, he's like, I'm going to do all the things that make somebody leave me. And I'm convinced of that. I believe so many people are cowardly like that, Harry, that they want to get caught, that they keep doing these things so that the other person will be like fed up. So it relieves them of the responsibility of having to remove themselves out of toxics because they're the toxin. But, you know, they don't want to be the bad. They don't want to be. I mean, they're already the bad guy, the bad person. But they don't want to be the one to walk out. So they force the hand. I see it all the time, and then they get mad when they're forgiven. They kind of up the ante. It's like, damn, she forgave me for that. All right, what I'm gonna do next? Surely this will be the last straw, and then it never is. It never is for some people.
Then when people say like they had no idea that marriage was going to be this way, it's like, I mean, what do you think? You still going to go to strip clubs every night? I mean, I don't understand.
You know, you should have never proposed. If you thought that your life wasn't going to change, you should have cut that person loose. I would have preferred somebody to break up with me than to terrorize me.
Yeah, but you know, it's usually about power in relationships. Even if you are physically or mentally abusive, or if you're not any of those, the reason you get married and your marriage ends so quickly is about power. It's about taking that other person off the market.
Yeah. Right?
It's about that power, grabbing that person off the market. But you don't want to be taken off the market. You still want to be you.
Yeah. That's true, Harry. Woo, people. We're giving it to you this morning for free.
Yeah.
We're giving it to you for free. That's true. That is very true. That's why I'm reluctant to get married again. I love the freedom that I possess right now. Like, I just, the thought of conferring with somebody would just drive me crazy. I can't do it.
That's
like, I want to check with nobody.
Well, that's why your definition of freedom, if it doesn't change when you get married, because for me, freedom is the freedom to love and be loved, right?
Yes.
So if your definition doesn't change to that when you get married, then it's not gonna work out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think these are the kinds of conversations you ought to be having before you take those vows.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't get to real talk and you just want the fairy tale and a lovely day.
And another thing is you should have the talk about what's marriage, whether you think I do means a traditional, you know, 1920 marriage tradition or 2022.
Yeah.
So,
and what are your values? What do you value? Yeah,
some people say I do and they think, okay, she's going to stay home. She's going to cook. She's going to this. She's going to that. She's going to be my wife /
housekeeper, slave.
Yeah, housekeeper, maid, and everything.
and come to bed sexy every night.
And get up an hour early to put the makeup on because, you know, I don't want to see you with your hair combed, not combed, and stuff like that. So that's why you have to figure out what marriage really is and what century you live in.
Yes, because you know what? Those unspoken expectations are the things that take root in people and cause misery and pain. Those unspoken expectations. When I got married to you, I expected this. Now, I didn't say this to you, but I just expected and assumed that you would take care of my laundry, that you would do the grocery shopping, or I would expect you to take care of the yard. Like, there's these unspoken assignments.
No, absolutely. And it's the same thing for women. It's the fairy tale syndrome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it for both sides, Harry. Both sides.
Yeah, where you think it's Prince Charming who's marrying you. And then the next day, he's not Prince Charming.
He's Prince Harmy.
Yeah, he wakes up with an attitude. He's
giving
not
you
a
the
morning
silent
person.
Treatment.
Yeah, he's not a morning person. He wants you to shut up, you know, till 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's like that. Some people are like that.
Yeah.
I have a friend who is aggravating up to like 10 or 11 in the a.m., you know? He doesn't become a human being until like 11 a.m. So it's like you have to know all these things. You have to know all these things.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what it is, the refusal to know these things. I honestly think, Harry, people think if they share these things, it will run the other person off, that it makes them less attractive to have these kinds of conversations. You know, they don't want to spook somebody. They don't want. And you know, I have a couple of matchmaker friends. When I was doing my matchmaking stuff, when I was participating in matchmaking, and they were like, listen, you have to be intentional. You have to be right up there and say whatever you need to say within those. And because you can't depend on attraction. Attraction, Harry, is just like perfume. Smells good, get you in the room, get you like, oh, I like the way that smells. But that's not the foundation. Attraction is not the foundation. It's not. So you got to have real conversation with people. And if the conversation spooks somebody and they're not willing to have the deep then you have to leave them alone. You can't ignorant your way into a relationship of, I don't talk about it. If I don't say it, it's not the time. I was like, well, when will there be the time? When you stand in front of a minister saying some vows that y'all know you're not going to keep in 6 months. Woo!
Yeah, that contract is real.
It's real.
I mean, and another thing is, maybe, I mean, unless you mean it on a, if you get married and you really don't like the person, that's just insane to me. Right? If you don't like the person, because that death to us part, some people take that stuff literal, right? And it can't be literal. It can't be literal. If the person, if you hate the person you wake up next to, you should get out.
You should.
It should.
And
be
I see too many. I seen too many of those too, Harry, where they can't stand each other and they're still in the same space. And I'm thinking, why would you waste your time? It's so precious.
And it's because of the vows. They take those vows and they're like, I guess I got to grin and bear it. I mean, you know, I'm 23 years old. I don't look like, you know, I don't feel like I'm going to die anytime soon, but I'm going to spiritually die for the next 30 years with this person I hate. It's insane.
Whether you're 23 or 33 or 83.
Right, whatever age.
Whatever it is.
But, you know, when you have young people who are miserable, it's like, I can't divorce them because what I'm going to tell my parents? I can't this. It's like, oh, my God. If your happiness isn't first.
Yeah. You are wasting your one and only life.
Yep.
This is not a dress rehearsal. This is real life.
I mean, it could be a dress rehearsal. You just got to get divorced. Then maybe it'll work out the next time. And
move. I tell you what I've been watching all week. I watched this weekend. I binged season one and season two. I started with season two. Modern Love on Hulu. I think it's Hulu. Amazon Prime, rather. Amazon Prime. Watching Modern Love stories. Modern Love, which are these stories that are taken from the New York Times of the same name, Modern Love. They do these series of stories. I think they come out every Monday, Tuesday. Anyway, they set them to film, you know, with like big time actors and stuff. And I watched season one, and Andrew had told me to watch it 2 years ago when the first one came out. And I was like, oh, I will. I'll get around to it because he thought I would enjoy them. So I watched season two. I ended up watching the whole season because it was just that good. And these are based on true stories, Harry. People get themselves into these ridiculous predicaments with people. Like they know they love somebody else and they know that other person is for them and they are stuck with the person who is not for them. And they can, and they keep trying to make it work out with the person who is not for them. And I'm watching this play out and I'm thinking to myself, all this energy trying to make something that does not satisfy you work. When the person that you really love, the moment that they walked into the room, everything about them was what you wanted. And you got separated over the years for some odd reason. And then they show back up in your life and you still have the same feelings. I was like, oh my God, these people are crazy.
Yeah, I don't, you see, I can't live in, I'm a bad liar. You know, I prefer not to say anything because, you know, a lot of times the truth always comes out on me and I insult people sometimes. So I'm a bad liar. So I don't even know how you can live with somebody and lie, you know, and put a facade or you're just both miserable. I don't know. I don't get the dynamic.
I don't get the dynamic either. And I just know when I got divorced, I knew my marriage was coming to an end. I could feel it. Like I could feel it. It was still painful. Didn't make it any easier when it happened. But as I hindsight, 10 years back, I'm looking, I've been divorced about 10 years now. I could see where the fault lines were. not fault in, his fault, my fault, where the breaks were, where the incompatibility were, where, you know, it ran as long as it could run. I see it. You know, I could look back now on the trajectory and like, oh, I see it, you know. So now when I think about marriage, Harry, I think about it very differently. I had no point of reference when I got married. I had no point of reference. You know, there was terrible marriages. I grew up around terrible marriages. So I didn't really have a point of reference. You know, like, I guess it wasn't until like the Cosby Show that I really got a sense that people could be compatible in the same house raising kids. I was like, wow. And not struggle. Because before that, you saw good times and it was always poverty, right? Like, it was. So I was like, oh. And the Jeffersons, that really wasn't my reality either, because they were a much older couple, right? They weren't a young new couple starting out. They had already had grown kids who were out the house and they were in a condo. So I didn't really have a point of reference for that. So I think the Cosby is probably the best point of reference, where you saw two professional people happily engaged in a day-to-day relationship, you know, where they weren't being sassy to each other and being mean to each other. Do you know what I mean? Or calling him stupid, or she's stupid, or.
Well, that's the thing, right? So I grew up around horrible marriages too, right? And that was the only thing I knew, right? So how to be disrespectful to women is what I learned, right? So that was my point of reference right there, Babs. That's where I started. Disrespectful to women. That's where I started, because that's what I learned. So it was embedded in me, and I had to exercise that demon out of myself. And it is, it's like a demon. You have to exercise that crap right out of you, because, and it took a while, but unfortunately, when you grow up like that, you grow up in abusive homes and everything, you think, or you don't think, it just happens in your life. And if you allow yourself to think, is when you actually could break out of it. So there's no thinking involved. You become the horrible man or woman who were in your life. And then you, unless you stop and take a breath in your own life and actually take a breath, and while you're exhaling, you see life and what's happening and how you're associated with everybody's misery. Unless you're able to do that, you just continue down that same road. You know, it's insane. It's insane. When I think of me 30 years ago, how old am I? Yeah, around 30 years ago. It's insane what I was, because it wasn't who I was. It was what I was, because I was just a product of the environment I grew up in. And that's why for these kids and, you know, these young adults growing up, you have to try to get them to live their own lives, be who they should be who they're going to be. Because if they take on the bad characteristics of the people who raised them, and unfortunately, you know, I love my mother and everything, but she allowed things, or I shouldn't make judgments here, but my house was out of control, you know, and it was because of the male, the men in her life. So eventually she woke up and kicked everybody out of her life, but the damage was done to me.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, so eventually she got it together. She did. But the damage was done. And I had to decide that that's not who I was going to be. So it's not hard. And in every marriage, I always, there's fault lines in every marriage, right? So it's like in different parts of the earth where we have these fault lines where it's more likely to have earthquakes and stuff.
Yeah. Like that.
Right. And in every marriage, there's fault lines.
That's what I said.
You have to learn those fault lines.
Yes.
And you should, you know, ideally, you know them going in. This way, you know how to work around, massage each other's fault lines so they don't become earthquakes. But when you go into a relationship like me and Karen, we went into our relationship, young kids, not knowing anything. And probably for the first 4 years of four, five, 6 years of our lives, it was miserable, but it was a growing, not a growing misery, but growing out of misery. Mm. So
that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point that you grew out of,
right,
instead of more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't allow misery to grow, because then what's the point in living?
I know.
So yeah, we slowly grew out of misery and learned how to respect each other. I mean, and love each other. We loved each other, but it's like you said, right? The attraction and everything, that's on the surface.
It is. And you know, people change, bodies change.
Yeah, everything
changes. Mindsets change. You know, the things that you found attractive are probably going to be the things that will drive you crazy. So you've got to build some scaffolding around your marriage so that you can go around, up and down in it, so that you're not causing harm, right? You got to build some really good scaffolding to a marriage. You know, you got to understand, you got to be able to have communication and talk about things. You have to understand people's, you know, I guess what they call the love languages, Harry. Like, if I know my partner, if we get into it in the moment and they say, I'm going to drop this conversation, I'll come back to it, because they need to step away, because some people don't like confrontation at the moment. I'm one of those people too. I don't particularly care for confrontation in the moment. I won't back down from confrontation, but I recognize that I need a few minutes or an hour or two to come back to the conversation when I'm calm and collected. Because if it gets into a shouting match, heat rises. And so you liable to say stuff that you cannot take back, that has nothing to do with what the hell you're fighting about. I've seen that happen too.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing, right? And that's why that was the major thing, learning how to take a breath in everything in your life, even with your kids. You have to learn how to take a breath, or you want to kill your kids sometimes. So you have to learn how to take that breath. And that breath is actually stopping to think.
Yes.
Think things through. Right? Yes. Some people go, I take deep breaths and nothing happened. No, because you're not thinking. It's more than that.
What you're doing is you're taking a deep breath and you stewing.
That's right. That's right. Because look, everything could go get out of control. Right. And for me, I never excuse myself, because I'm not emotional, right? So for me, everything I said in anger, I meant usually, right? So I never really wanted to take back what I said, because it's what I felt. So for me, it was, don't say it, because it's gonna rip down, you know, somebody else's, like you said, scaffolding. So it's like, you're just going to rip it down and they're going to teeter. Just because you decide sometimes your truths are more important than somebody else's. And we all have our own truths.
Yeah.
So
we do.
So, you know, it and I, that's the one thing I learned. A lot of times my truth is harmful because my truth was always about F it. I'm going to destroy this person. You know, that's what it was. So, you know, so it's more important. And in a relationship, you have to be, you know, you have to know how to bricklay, you know, right? Lay bricks, do some carpentry, right? Because when I got into my relationship with my wife, there was no foundation. So we had to actually build our foundation already in the relationship. So we were bricklayers. We were carpenters. You know? And
I like that analogy. That's a good analogy, Harry.
Yeah, so you have
that's going to be in our book.
Yeah, put it in the book.
Chapter one. The trades.
I mean, definitely, because it's insane. And if you don't start building something together, then you're going to fall apart, separately, yeah, apart.
You are. Yes. And if you're not listening to, if you're not talking and listening to what the other person needs and wants, you know, and you ignore what they're saying by their body language, and you don't invite them to open up about that. And it's not on you oftentimes to sort of tease things out of people, but it is on you to open space so that people feel comfortable enough to share. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know women who can't tolerate men crying. They just can't. For them, it's a sign of weakness. I need him to be strong. I don't need him to be crying. But crying is a human, it's a human experience. Like, everybody cries.
You know.
Like, what do you mean men can't cry?
It's just one of those emotions that for some reason, right? Some people blow steam. Some people leak. Right? It's, you know, it is that, right? And for me, when I was growing up, everything was about punch somebody in the face, right? You know, you get upset, just punch somebody in the face. So it did take for me not to cut the violence out of me. Let me tell you, I used to stew there and I used to cry in anger because it was either I'm going to kill or stew. So, you know, I decided to stew. I mean, this is when I was young, until I was able to, you know, woo-sah myself out of it. But yeah, so it is. It's either some people blow steam, some people leak. None of them are signs of weakness. They're signs of not having control, right? That's the reason people cry in anger, because they're trying to control themselves, you know, and they don't have control. So, you know, they leak or they blow, you know. So, you know, it's hard because let me tell you, having my kids, I thought to myself, because I remember my father, who I used to see on weekends sometimes, he used to say, don't cry. That's a sign of weakness. Don't cry. So I'm like, okay, so I'm going to hit. And he's like, no, don't hit, but don't cry.
Like, dad?
It's one of the
other.
I need
some more options.
Yeah, it's one or the other. You know, so, and then I started doing that to my son when he was a kid. So it was like, nope, don't cry. Signs of weakness. And Karen had to grab me. Nope, you're not going to tell him not to cry. that's what he's feeling right now. So let him feel. So, you know, so I was stuck there and I retreated. I said, you know, what do I know? Sometimes you have to actually say to yourself, what the hell do I know about this? I know nothing. And if you reference yourself, you go, oh my God, my dad used to tell me not to cry. And it made me feel horrible. So it's about learning. And it's actually being able to retrieve those memories and use them in a productive manner. Not to go, oh yeah, I wasn't allowed to cry, so you can't cry. That's insane. You have to be productive in your life.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Use those experiences and turn them around so that they are teachable moments rather than a hammer, right? Like
I always say my son, he suffered, I'm going to say, three years maybe of Harry learning how to be a dad. And he tells me he doesn't remember now, but it's part of who he is. He can't escape, just like I couldn't escape it. So it's part of who he is, that crazy dad yelling in his face and, you're going to finish your meal and, you know? That's who Harry was for the first 3 years of his life. You know, so, now my daughter got over because I was learning. I'm like, ooh, better dad. I got to be better. But these are realities, man. Nobody wants to talk about them.
And that's where all the relationship problems begin, because nobody is having these honest conversations, you know. Yeah. And if they are, they're not having it in relationship to the people that they are in love with. They might be having them with their friends or girlfriends, circle of friends, but they're not having them with their partners, you know, where the conversation really needs to be had.
Yeah.
You know, in that space, you know,
right.
I feel this way. I feel that way.
And at the same time, I married that round the way girl, right? Karen was from where I was from. So, you know, she knew about being hard and having to be hard, but she was mommy. So she stood in between me and my kids whenever I was, you know, not thinking straight. So she would stand between me and them and go, get the hell out of here. What's wrong with you? That's not the right way to do it. Go, you know, you think about that. She used to say, you like to think you're, you know, all logical and or go logic your way out of this.
Go ahead, Karen.
You know, go think about this common sense that you like to talk about. You know, so, you know, hey, oh my God, I think about
it. And then you go sit with yourself and you're like,
yeah,
whoa.
And you sit with yourself and you're like, what an idiot. You know, I thought when this person did it to me, I thought they were an ass. I thought they were this. I thought that I'm the ass. But you have to be able to do that to yourself. You have to be able to put yourself in the position that you are an ass. It's the only way you grow. You can't be right all the time, people. I'm telling you right now. You're rarely right. You're a flip of a coin. Okay? Almost everybody is a flip of a coin.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not talking about facts. I'm talking about in a relationship, when it comes to emotions, it's a flip of a coin, who's right, who's wrong. That's why you have to actually build bridges in your relationship, because if not, you're both going to be on either side, not being able to reach each other.
Right. That's true. That is very, very true. And it takes work, and it's not pretty and not easy. And some, and it hurts, but that's what love costs. That's what living in love requires. Do you know what I mean? That's how you love people, you know, that you build the bridge to them. You have to build, you know, it's a constant state of forgiveness and a constant state of building bridges and a constant state of grace.
Yeah.
You know, and it can't be false. You can't be fake. You can't fake your way or BS your way, you know, or lie your way into that kind of happiness and joy. You've got to walk in truth. You know, that's very hard, Harry, because it's like being naked in a room full of.
Oh, it is.
You know,
it is
like being naked.
It's being completely naked. Right. But Angel just texted me. Sorry. he knows all my secrets. He's been there. He's Karen's brother. So it's being completely naked, but it's choosing to be completely naked.
Yes.
In your relationship.
Yes.
And that's the only way you grow. That's the only way you grow. I have a special, very special woman in my life, right? Karen was there through everything. Karen knows every single thing about me because I decided I'm going to be completely naked on this. She's going to know me in my entirety, and let's see if she accepts this Harry. And she did. You know, and she was willing to grow with me. But it's not that it's easy. It's not easy.
No.
It's easy for me to talk about now, but back then, oh my God, what an idiot. What an absolute idiot. Oh my God. Every time I sit with my sister for any amount of time, she reminds me what kind of idiot I was and how I terrorized people growing up with my anger. And my sister will tell me, you know, you were an asshole. Who you are right now is just incredible. But who you were? Oh, my God. You know, my sister reminds me all the time. She's like, oh, my God. But, you know, it's incredible. This is why I don't give up on anybody. Because I didn't give up on me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You know, and now I get to be Papa to these beautiful granddaughters.
Oh, I know. I watched the video that you sent. They are cute. I love Daisy with her tutu.
Daisy's incredible. Oh my God.
This is like, okay, if I'm gonna do this, I gotta do it my way. I'm gonna show up with my tutu on. I'm gonna fight, but I'm gonna fight with my tutu on.
Yep. She told her father. She took off her cape, you know, and she said, "I'm not a princess anymore. I'm ready to wrestle now, Papi," she told him.
Whoa.
"I'm not a princess anymore." She took off her stuff. And I'm looking at the video and I'm like, she took off her cape and all of that, whatever princess outfit she had. But she still had her crown. She fought with her crown on it.
She's like, "Oh, wait, no, let's not get it twisted."
Yeah.
"I'm not saying I'm not a princess. I'm saying I'm not going to be a princess in this ring.
Not right now." Yeah, she won her first match. I think a week ago. She actually won her first official match. Which, by the way, they're allowing her to wrestle. You have to be 5. She's 4. And she's already, they're allowing her to wrestle.
Oh, are they?
Yep. And she won her first match.
She High five, Daisy! Diva Daisy. Medal. Daisy the Diva.
She won her first medal and she wore the medal, the medal all the way. She slept with the medal. So she was proud.
Don't tell me she's not no princess. Go, Daisy. Daisy is like, oh, yes.
And just like her sister, she's fighting little boys who outweigh her.
Good.
You know, and
I like that she's not afraid. I like that girls are not afraid.
Yeah. And Daisy goes, they're not big. She goes, they're not big. They're not too big. Because she wrestles with her sister, Bella. Bella's way bigger than her. So she's like, these boys ain't big. I got this.
I love it. I love that they're not afraid. You know what I mean? Like, they don't see boys as adversarial, right? Like, they don't see them as something to be feared. Yep. It's like, I'll take your ass to the mat.
and Bella has taken on challenges from other little boys.
Go ahead, Bella. I ain't mad at you. Yep. And we got your back.
She's like, keep talking junk. Okay, we'll fight.
All right, it's 10 o'clock, Harry. We got call letters?
Yeah, let's do the call letters at a little break.
10 o'clock, all is well.
You are listening to... What are we listening to?
Love Babs, Love Talk on 103.5 WNHH. Live streaming on New Haven Independent and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Here we go. We'll be right back. Listen, it love that love talk. We'll be back.
I'll tell you about the couple of shows I saw over the weekend. Thank you.
ethengayo udihlise bundenyusa awusoze ukholwe ukholwe kholwe zange nabazali bami bazibona nazinzingo ujanga wenso wasimboni.
This is Harry Droz, and you're listening to WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven.
Welcome back to Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Earls Ivy. That's Harry Droz. We just hanging out, kicking it on this fine Monday. I think it's like 30-something degrees outside, Harry, I think.
Well, you know, this morning it was 28 in Jacksonville, Florida.
It's 45 in Paris.
28. I text Angel wondering if they even have heat. In Florida, or do they just wait for the sun to come up?
Lord have mercy.
My other brother-in-law said they have heat, they just have to dust the cobwebs off.
It's like, where's the thermostat? Like, where do we turn the heat on at? where's that button? I don't know where that button is. Said everybody in Florida.
Angel said he wants to know who to sue for the weather.
My money is the Jews. I would just start suing random Jews.
I was gonna give him Paul Bass address.
Yeah, Paul Bass. I don't know. Go look up your neighborhood synagogue. See who's over there. See you all over there. So I went to see beautiful Carole King, the Carole King musical at Schubert Friday night, me and Markeisha. We started out started out at Old Bay. Had a lovely dinner at Old Bay. Lovely, lovely dinner at Old Bay. Flank steak was on point. And she had the bouillabaisse. And, you know, it's one of her favorite things, their bouillabaisse. So anyway, we went to Carole King, the musical. Beautiful. It was so good, Harry, because you know all the songs. I mean, and it was a great little love story, you know, and all, you know, some of the music that Carole King wrote for the Drifters and the Shirelles and all of that. So it was really, it was a good night out. It was cold. It was cold Friday night. Jesus, it was cold. So yeah, that's what I did Friday night. And I just kind of hung around all weekend, hung out at Bloom, spent some time at Bloom. They've got a new space, Sapphire Den over there, and a cafe, a little coffee shop part. So it was really nice. So I hung out there, met some young sisters who I've met before. So caught up with them. They were in here talking about just kicking it, you know. It was just wonderful, rich conversation. So yeah, so that was my weekend.
By the way, Baz, I got the Dunkin' Donuts treatment.
What does that mean?
at the clinic, where I went to take my blood and urine sample.
Yeah.
So my doctor called me Friday afternoon and said, she's waiting for my results, but I haven't gone to get a sample.
Waiting for some imaginary results.
I'm like, wait, I haven't gone to give a sample. Of course I did. I said, can you please check it? Because I received the email saying that my results are ready. So she goes in and she's like, yeah, I'm seeing it, but it's all the diabetes, your regular quarterly diabetes blood and urine you get. And I'm like, oh my God. I said, can you just check if there's a doctor's order for the culture you were supposed to order? And she's like, oh, the nurse was supposed to do that. Well, we'll check, because
now you're throwing the nurse under the bus.
Yeah. So I'm supposed to go again. I was supposed to go Saturday. I'm like, I didn't feel like going Saturday morning.
What?
So I'm going to go tomorrow morning. But, you know, so she told me, drink a lot of cranberry juice because it sounds like a UTI. So,
but is that cranberry juice that's pure cranberry juice or 20% cranberry juice?
Ocean spray?
Check to see how much juice. Because you need to go to Edge of the Woods and get pure cranberry juice.
Oh, my God.
Because what you're drinking is not going to help you. It's just going to raise your blood sugar.
I don't know. So
you got the container. It'll tell you if it's 25% juice or 10% or 3% or whatever it is. It ain't going to say 100%.
But the words are so small.
No, they're not. The words are right there at the top.
It's 100% cranberry juice.
Let me see. Turn it over. Put it up to the camera. Let me see.
25 milligrams of sodium.
No, Harry, it'll tell you right at the top before you even get to ingredients how much juice is in there.
All right, it says 100% cranberry.
Oh, okay. Juice. All right. Let me see. I can't see. Okay. How much do they add some sugar? Is there added sugar?
I'm not sure, but those things, those little words.
They're not little words.
I can't even see it with my freaking bifocals.
Oh, don't even play it.
So, yeah, so I got the Dunkin' Donuts treatment at the lab.
What do you mean? Oh, they
they messed up my order.
So now you got to go back.
Now I got to go back.
And you're going back tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
All I right. guess. I'm thinking of going into the studio tomorrow too, so.
Okay.
But that would mean that if I go to the, do the sample, it opens at 8. So you might end up starting your show late tomorrow. Oh, wait, no, Susan's on tomorrow.
Yeah, Susan's on at 9:30. You know, you can run over. You got to. Do you have to fast?
No, I don't have to fast.
So you could go today after you get off air.
I guess I can get dressed.
Aren't you dressed? No, I'm not dressed. I'm sorry. You don't want to wear that black shirt. You want to wear a fancier black shirt.
I'm in my home pajamas. You know, but so anyway, so I think it's just me. They give me poor service wherever I go. You know, and the thing is that the nurse who took my blood and gave me the cup for the urine, she told me, you said you're here because you may have a UTI, but that's not the test that they ordered for you. And I'm like, yeah, I had a conversation with them, so it has to be the test. I should have just stopped right there and called the doctor's office.
Yeah.
But,
mm-hmm.
You know how it is.
Well, you just go today and get it done. If you don't have to fast, I would just get it done. And today is a warmer day, and tomorrow it'll be snowy. So,
again?
Just saying. A little dusting, a little dusting.
Oh, is it winter?
Yeah. Outside of your house, yes, Harry. Outside of your house, it's winter. So we're starting a new thing, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes. Word on the street. I think when are we doing it? We're doing Word on the Street, where, you know, those fine, fabulous, talented writers from the New Haven Independent gonna be on the street talking to people about any particular issue. And so they're gonna chime in. We're gonna pump them in and catch up with people and talk to people on the street or wherever. We'll see how this goes. I think it's gonna be hella fun because people are silly.
I love that man on the street stuff.
I do too. And I hope that they find and I don't want to get them in trouble, but if they can find the Department of Refuse, you know, Public Works. If they run over by Public Works, see somebody out there, and say, ask them, man, what do we want? What do y'all want people to know when y'all are out here doing this work?
Yeah, I mean, it's the basic questions that always get me. You know, it's like, who's the president?
And yeah. Like, what is Einstein's law of relativity?
Who is Einstein? Who's
the mayor of New Haven?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of faith in people, so I expect some interesting answers.
How do you get COVID? You know, those kinds of things. So I'm looking forward to it. So I guess it's going to be like a good 20 minutes of that. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be hilarious. And we're going to live stream them right in with us. And I'm going to talk directly to people. Talk to the people on the street, Harry, because that's what we do.
So look, this is what's happening. I know this is, it isn't a local story. It's more of an international story, but.
No, we do international here. We're big all around the world.
Chesh Singer, Hanka Horka, dies intentionally getting infected by COVID, right? So.
Oh, I know this woman.
Yeah, this artist.
Yeah.
She was tired of being banned from, you know, from sites where she couldn't go perform and everything like that. So she, her husband and her son got COVID and she didn't want to get vaccinated. So she intentionally caught COVID from her husband and son.
Mm-hmm.
So that she could go into concert venues.
I'm sorry, where's she playing at? Where's she playing now?
I don't know, maybe the Hotel California. She
with Andre Leon Talley and Meatloaf. They got a good choir right now.
The Hotel California. It's a lovely place. It's a lovely place.
Sorry, and you can't ever leave.
That's right. Anyway, that's messed up, but
no, I saw it. Listen, I would not be doing that.
What in the world? What's wrong with people? Really?
I don't know. Harry, I would put on 8 masks if they said, you need to mask up.
I mean, obviously this lady's not listening to our show. Obviously. Because we said this is Russian roulette.
Yes, we did.
You don't know if you're going to get the COVID that kills you or the COVID that gives you a runny nose. You don't know which one. So intentionally getting it is insane.
I bet you she wasn't sleeping around trying to get a sexually transmitted disease.
I know, right?
I don't see people talking about Harry. I don't trust the cures for sexually transmitted diseases. So therefore, I'm just going to keep going.
See, you almost have to believe that nobody died, right? So you have to exist in this world and say to yourself, okay, the almost million people who've died of COVID, they're not really dead. They're being hidden.
Listen. Harry, we already seen this with the people who believe the school shootings were fake and those kids are really alive somewhere growing up with Michael Jackson and Tupac. And Elvis.
Wait. Tupac's alive. No, but who's that guy who said that about the Sandy Hook kids, that it was pretend?
Oh, yeah, and he got sued and lost.
Yeah, but don't you think these people have to think similarly, that they think to themselves? I mean, you have to not believe that 800,000 people have died.
Yeah.
To say to yourself.
But there are people like that, Harry. There are people who don't believe the Holocaust. There are people who don't believe slavery was really slavery. There are people who don't believe these kids was killed at Sandy Hook and that they're somewhere growing up and they were actors.
I want to volunteer to be the ones who smacks all of them.
Tag me in. On behalf of those parents, I'm going to bitch slap all those people.
I want to volunteer to, as they're walking into the courthouse or wherever, I'll smack them.
I'm going to say, and I really didn't slap you.
That's right.
You weren't slapped.
It didn't really happen. Oh my God.
So it's always people like that, Harry. It's always going to be people who...
To intentionally get it. And then notice her age. She's 57 years old.
I know. That's that age, Harry. Like,
you're not a 20-year-old. You're 57. You intentionally get a virus that's killing off.
And I would want to know, when she's laying in that hospital bed and they intubate her and ventilate her, like, what is she thinking? Like, oh my God, I messed up. Are those moments? Although the nurses are saying, I heard some nurses saying people were like fighting them, like, I don't have COVID, so stop trying to tell me I have COVID. And if I'm the nurse, I'm like, you got about 5 minutes. you got 5 minutes left on this planet.
What you want to waste your time saying? Do you need me to call somebody? Because this is real.
Because you're going to spend your last 5 minutes fighting with me. I was like, okay.
You know, the thing is that, you see, you have some families who don't want to say that their loved one passed from COVID.
I know, like, this is like AIDS or HIV. Like, what the hell?
Now, this family, the son willingly talked to the news.
My mother was stupid.
He said, she intentionally spent time with me and my father knowing we had COVID. Intentionally did it. Shake your head. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I don't know what you do with that, Harry. I don't know what you do with that with people. I don't. I know people who taking pills and potions and green smoothies. Oh, my immune system is going to boost me up. All right, go ahead. Whatever. Eat all the pomegranates you want. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I got to say, I take many vitamins for my immune system, but I also took the vaccine. So yeah, I built up my immunity.
I'm gonna supplement my vitamin regimen with the vaccine.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do. I don't know what y'all gonna do.
look, there's no guarantee for me, right? So there's no guarantee. So you got to take precautions. So if, like, my blood work, I actually had too much vitamin D because I take vitamin D. That's one of the, if you look at the people who pass, they usually pass with a vitamin D deficiency and stuff like that. So I take all of my vitamins, but you damn right I'm going to take the vaccine, the booster. You got to do what you got to do to stay alive. And if they alive. Say
come back and get boosted again, I'm right there in line.
To stay alive.
I don't care. I'm going to do what I got to do, Harry. I like this life. Huh? I don't got no point to prove. Yeah. I don't care, Harry, if they injected me with stuff that'll track me from here to 1,000 years from now. I don't care.
Look, I'm in my 50s. I'm living on borrowed time as it
I'm
is.
Damn near 60 and I like to get there.
That's right.
I didn't think I'd get to 57. And once I got to 57, I exhaled. I was like, ooh. I was like, okay. Now I'm a solid 58. I turned 59 this year. I was like, it's a party from here on out. Listen, it's a party here on out.
It's yeah, so I don't know if this qualifies as weird news because we like to do that every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, we do like our weird news.
I don't know if this qualifies. I mean, the other one that I just said qualifies as dumb news. This is not so weird. It's just something that you and I speak about. Scientists warn that the sixth mass extinction has probably started. So we've had five, mass extinctions in the last 450 million years.
Oh, boy.
And they're saying, yeah, we probably started the sixth one. The Earth just feels different these days. So there's a lot of unexplained happenings all over the world and inside the Earth. So we're probably in the midst of a sixth extinction. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen right away, but it's just the start of. So the Earth is showing us signs. Like, you've been saying this for a while. Mm-hmm. The Earth is showing us signs
that it wants us off it.
That our time is up. The Earth is saying, yeah.
Humans are bad for the planet.
Yeah, the Earth is saying, I tried, but you guys just don't get it. It's just like the COVID vaccine. So it's the Earth is thinking the same way about us as some of us feel about the COVID vaccine deniers, right? It's like, you guys just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, you marching right to extinction.
Yeah.
You are marching to extinction. That's what's happening. And you know what? That sounds like grand, in the overall scheme of things, Harry, there will be opportunities for grand selection to get them off this earth. And that kind of thinking that the vaccine is a hoax, I think at the percentage of people who believe that are the people who I think are designed to be extinct, like I think it's already in them to extinct.
But the thing is that nobody is doing it to them, right?
That's what I mean. It's
they're like raising their hand. Okay, right. Yeah.
I like to be extinct. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm the bag of cells that should be extinct right here, right here.
And actually, we will show them to the door. No, listen, we should stop arguing with these people, Harry. Let them self-select out. Let them. I'm not mad at them. Listen, that's what you want to do. The problem is that when they have it in them, they carry it and give it off to other people. That's my problem, you know, that they don't believe they have the COVID, but COVID is in them. And so they take it wherever they go and spread it. So that's my problem with these people. So it's not just, you know, oh, let them just go head on. Well, they're being a problem to everybody else.
See,
you know, they're being problematic.
My thing of this article, and by the way, if anybody wants to read it, it's in Vice. So, you know, vice.com, and you look it up there. My problem is that it coincides with these billionaires preparing themselves to leave the planet.
Well, yeah.
And I'm not a billionaire. So I'm going to get left behind regardless. I can't pay
$50
million.
We better get some cryptocurrency then, Harry. We need some cryptocurrency.
You know, it's like $50 million for a seat. I can't do that.
I need an indecent proposal. and it would be a yes.
Look, if I had $50 million, I would have to say, hey, listen, my granddaughters all fit in one seat. So please take them. Oh my God. Yeah, so you look at the billionaires, and they're prepping. They're prepping. There's a reason why these guys are, you know, hovering the earth right outside the atmosphere. There's a reason. They know something's coming. You know, and they don't want to be.
I think you give them more credit. I don't think they're that bright. I think this is really a pissing match. I think there are other people who understand that we have to figure out that are working on just what you're talking about. I don't think it's these three cats because they're not.
Oh,
unless they're just for it. You know, like, oh, let's play like we're partying about it, but we really.
Yeah, but maybe not Bronson and Bezos, but Elon Musk is talking about colonizing Mars.
Well, that's because white people, that's what so, they do best, colonizing. They can't help themselves.
They have to find a different...
They got to enslave somebody. Martians.
Poor Martians, right?
If
they are technologically gifted, you know, like we assume these people are, if they exist, you know, they have a history, right? And they hear Elon Musk going, yeah, we're going to colonize Mars. They're like,
oh, we don't see what y'all did with Earth. Let's shut this down. let's shut this down. Because humans are detrimental to the earth. If people come and take, if some other life force comes and take over the earth, it's not because, you know, it is because they know humans and our history have not been good and kind and generous to the planet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think on the first communications that we sent up into space, we sent like a DVD disc, a golden DVD disc up into space. It actually had Hitler's speech from the Olympics.
Why? Why would they do
why
that?
Would you do why that? Would,
that? That's not putting your best foot forward.
I know. Why would you do that? Are you asking them to blow us up?
Because when they look up Wikipedia and see that foolishness, they're like, oh, see, this is what I mean. Humans can't be trusted, and they damn sure can't be given a pass on man's inhumanity to man. So, no.
And even them, they have to say to themselves, how smart are they to send us their monster? It makes
Listen,
no sense.
If I'm an extraterrestrial, this is what I'm going to do, Harry. Wait them out. They're not doing very well with the pandemic. Wait them out. We're going to whittle down the human experience to just a few hundred people in different parts of the world. Just wait. Let's just wait. Let's just wait them out. Because they're not very smart. You know, they got vaccines. They don't even want the vaccines. Well, wait them out. Like, wait them out. If I'm an extraterrestrial, I'm not calling them aliens, because that's just colonizer language. That's when you call somebody alien, Harry. That's so you can shoot them and kill them without regard. Extraterrestrial, you know. I'm just saying.
Why they gotta be extra?
I know why they gotta be extra. Why can't they just be terrestrial? I know. The moment I said it, I was like, see, look, I got colonizer in me too. Look at that. Wow. You gotta do what you're gonna do.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at these pictures of on different shores, how there's piles of fish just washing up on.
I know. What is that about?
It's insane. And I was reading an article last week about birds just falling out the sky. Like, it's like freaking little torpedoes. They're just falling out the sky. I don't know. We're there's something happening. Weird. I don't know. Well, you saw that there was an underground volcano in Tonga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Harry?
There was a tsunami.
And wait, and here's Tonga. Tonga's like, listen, we know we need some aid, but we don't need y'all coming over here with your COVID. Listen, just drop it on the beaches. We'll go and get it.
Yep.
And they only got like a few thousand, you know, like, I don't know, like 100,000 people on the island anyway. So
it's crazy. And I know this, they've discovered under the Antarctic some huge volcanoes there.
Nobody's going down there poking them. Like, leave them alone. Like,
I know. And of course,
don't go down there with a match. Talk about, ooh, let me check this out.
But of course, Bass, we discover them. Now we have to study them. That's who we are. It's like,
yeah. Yeah.
Let's send a team over there, see if we could trigger one of them.
Yeah. And don't think that that's not what they're going to do. Oh, look. We have to see. Okay. All right.
Okay. So we are on the brink of, like, if any one of these super volcanoes goes off, it could cause, you know, well, extinction on portions of the planet. Just because, I mean, we have some ways of not to completely go extinct, right? The government has massive tunnels and bunkers. And of course, they're only going to save a few. I haven't received a letter saying that I'm invited.
You know, Harry, there's some bunkers for sale.
Well, we need to pool our money together. How big is it?
There's some bunkers for sale, Harry. Seriously, you could buy one. And then spend the next, 30 years tricking it out so you can be ready. Say it.
It's crazy. You never know when it's going to happen. I've seen pictures of some really nice bunkers that these rich people have. Unfortunately, when the world goes boom, you're going to have the privileged people who have bunkers survive.
Listen, there's private houses with their own private bunkers for sale. From nuclear bunkers to air raid hideouts. I mean, you could look it up, Harry. You could, let me see what they run you. It looks pretty good too. It looks pretty tricked out nice. Okay. I'm like, there's one for $479,000 in Georgia.
We might have to pull our money together instead of buying Costa Rica. Buy a bunker.
Yeah, buy a bunker. Oh, there's a survival home in Arizona, $699,000, Harry.
Perfect, in the desert.
Got security. 8 foot high security wall, 2 acre around a 2 acre perimeter. Wow, it's pretty good. I mean, you could look, and they got a whole, you know, all the food is stacked up.
Hopefully,
with enough food to keep a family going for years. I don't know, Harry, with a backup generator, fitted with a backup generator so you never be without power during your time in isolation.
Okay, but where does the water get pumped in from?
Oh, I don't know about that, Harry.
They have to have some type of filtration system.
You got to have a filtration system. But you might have to go old school, Harry, and just boil your water, right? That's old school.
First, you got to dig for the water in the dirt in the desert, right?
I'm sure they thought about this, Harry. I'm sure. if you could spend that kind of money to build a thing, you got some money to have some water tanks or something. Listen, that's something to consider. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not.
Hey, look. There's been already 5 mass extinctions. There's no conspiracy about that. The dinosaurs aren't here, right?
I know, but Harry, do I really want to be the only people on the planet left?
You won't be the only. The problem is that unfortunately, we'll still be the minorities. Because it'd be rich white people in their bunkers.
Not if we have ours. And you know what, Harry? You have to be out the way. Like, these things are out the way. Like, you got to be up on a mountain. Yeah. You got to be somewhere where people can't just walk on by and be like, oh, I'm going to drop it. You know what I mean? Like, and you got to be off the grid.
Yeah, you can't have people at your door begging you to come in, because that'd be sad.
And some of these are built into the mountain where you can't even tell. Like, you're like, is that a door? is that a door? And then some of them, Harry, you got a really nice house upstairs, but your hideaway, your isolation space is downstairs.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, but you got to secure the perimeter. You got to secure the perimeter 2-3 miles out. So if people come in, you can keep them out for a minute. Listen, I watched enough of The Walking Dead to get this, to understand.
Well, hopefully Angel is listening and he could build one on his property in Florida.
But Florida's too much like Jurassic Park, Harry.
That's what I was going to say. Don't dig too deep, because you
got to fight too many things to get.
Yeah, it's, but that means
it's too many things. Food. Alligators, bears. But at least you have
food at the ready, right? So there's always food for you to hunt.
Can't eat that? No way. What I consider roughing it is spam. That's about that's it. That's as low as I'm going. That's as low on the food chain as I'm going.
Speaking of which, I need to order a case of spam.
Oh, Lord.
Just in case.
There's a lot of houses, Harry. I had no idea it was this many houses. I don't want just a panic room. I need a whole space.
Which I don't understand. Like, you hear a lot of these days that stars are being stalked and stuff like that. And you hear that. I forgot who it was. Was it Taylor Swift or one of these young girls who was hiding in their closet while their stalker was in their house. And I'm like, whatever happened to panic rooms? If you're rich, don't you have a panic room?
I think, you know what? I think it takes a certain mindset, Harry, to have a panic room. I think that freaks people out. I would have one. And you know what I would do? I would be in my panic room, hit a button, and it'd be some gas that'll knock you out until the cops come. That's how I'm thinking. I was like, oh, let me get my panic room. And then press the button and the gas will come up through the house and they will fall out until the police come.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good. Karen always says, you never leave them alive.
You know why, Harry? She's right. Because you know why? Because they'll come back.
That's right. She's seen the scary movies.
They'll come back. And Jason, you know, never did. Look how many times Taylor Swift had to get a restraining order. All these celebrities, all after these people, they find out where they live. They get their. I'm like, that's, you know, a lot of work.
You know what's strange? I just saw a star just got her restraining order upped by 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you have to put a time limit on it? The guy's going to be crazy in 5 years anyway. Listen,
you know what? She ought to get a Glock. Just saying.
That's it.
And so as soon as he step on your property, right? As soon as he step on your property.
Got to double tap him.
One down. How many more to go? That's how I'm getting down, Harry.
I'm always double tap, not single tap. Got to double tap.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I'm not playing. That, you know what? Watch what I say. The next security model will be an in-home robot. Not just Alexa and Siri calling the cops for you. An in-house robot that you could say, David, sick him, David. And, you know, everybody's thinking it's a dog, and it's like a stormtrooper, impervious to shooting, to gunfire, and just lasers. And they just keep going until the perpetrator is out, like dead.
Yeah, they come out from under the stairwell.
Yeah, just, you know, I imagine that stormtrooper vibe. You know, the stormtrooper from Star Wars, that look.
Yep.
8 feet tall.
Yeah, by the way, we got to go, but...
Oh, we got to go.
By the way, last week, a huge asteroid...
Oh, I know! Close. Yes.
Came close, so...
I know.
There you go, an extinction-level event could have happened last week.
There you go.
So,
anyway. I'm just saying. It's a lot of stuff out there. All right, so tomorrow I have Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz on at 9:30. And then we're going to do Word on the Street at 10:15.
10:15, we'll do Word on the Street.
Okay. All right. I can't wait. Oh, tomorrow's going to be fun. We'll see y'all.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Go to the doctor's, Harry. Get your blood work done.
Yeah, I'll try to remember that.
There you go right now.